Join me in Luke chapter 24, please. Turn our attention now toward missions. As I've said, this could very easily have been called a Mission Emphasis Sunday with what we've already done earlier in the service and what the kids were involved with this weekend. And now we turn our attention to missions and the commissioning of the Belize mission team here just in a moment. But first of all, let's read from the inerrant, inspired Word of God, Luke 24, verse 36, please. This, of course, is after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. As they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it before them. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written, that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sin should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you're clothed with power from on high." I do pray the Lord's blessing to the reading of his holy word. As I've said, Jesus has resurrected from the dead and has appeared somewhat miraculously in the room where the disciples were this day. And he is now beginning to give them their charge, meaning he is charging them with an aspect of the ministry where they are to go out. And so here we read in verses 44 and following this charge. First of all, he reminded them that these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you. That everything that was written in the law, everything that was written in Moses, everything was written by the prophets, he fulfilled and lived out. And this is to be a part of your message as you go out and share this message. Then he goes on and says, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." So here the disciples are being told by Jesus Christ, a resurrected Jesus Christ, that this is your call. This is your charge. Remind them again that I fulfilled everything in the Old Testament that was written about me, and you are now witnesses of my death and resurrection. So go out. Go out. You see, bless the disciples' hearts. They did not understand all. Here they see a miraculously raised Jesus Christ standing before them, and they are startled. They think they saw a spirit, but Jesus Christ said, "No, see, hear, feel, touch." But in verse 45, this is the amazing thing that Jesus Christ did for them. He said, "Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures." Isn't it amazing when the confusion is gone? When you seek to understand something, many of you have come to me and said you've read the Holy Scriptures, and what does that mean, and what does that mean? But then finally, one day, it just... And again, it's the same thing. The Holy Spirit has come and brought understanding to our minds. And so here, now, the disciples have been told, "Be witnesses of everything I've taught you, but go and preach and teach the resurrection of Jesus Christ." The Spirit moved in their hearts, in their minds, and they began to understand. All right, now if you would go with me to Acts chapter 1. Having that teaching, having that disclosure made to the disciples that they are to go out. But remember, Jesus Christ said, don't leave until the gift of the Father has been given to you. And so that takes us to Acts chapter 1. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know times or reasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. I'll end the reading there. In Luke, they were told to stay until the promise of the Father came upon them. Here it's repeated. Stay in Jerusalem until the promise of the Father and the presence of the Holy Spirit comes upon you. This was very key because they were not to go out in their own strength and in their own wisdom, and they had to wait. Actually, they also had to wait for their protection. They had just killed Jesus Christ, and the folks were after them as well. But now they were to go. They were to go out. And so Jesus here again is preparing them to go out into the ministry. But where are they to go? This is very key. Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. This is the importance of this call is the reason Jesus Christ came. First, he came because God so loved the world that he gave his son to die for the sins of the believers. And so Jesus came and did that. But here is the unique nature of this charge that I'm sure the disciples did not understand at first. This is a significant change in their religion. Up to this point, the disciples had been taught all their lives that to worship God, you must come to Jerusalem. You must come to the temple. To worship God, you must come into Jerusalem. Now he is telling them to go away from Jerusalem. You'll start in Jerusalem, but then go into the surrounding city in the area of Judea, then go into Samaria, enemy territory, and then to the ends of the earth. And they were told that they would not go along. Verse 8. Jesus says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. The Holy Spirit will come. This is what they were waiting on. The Holy Spirit will come. And if you will turn over with me to Acts chapter 2. This significant coming of the Holy Spirit is what Jesus was telling them to wait on. Because they were not to go out in their own authority. They were not to go out in their own strength. They were not to go out in their own wisdom. Acts chapter 2. This is the story of the day of Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I'll end the reading there. At this point, this new movement, this church, Christianity begins to grow rapidly. Here the Holy Spirit comes and empowers them. And it had to be a fascinating sight for those that saw this. The little parts of fire, the Holy Spirit descending as a fire upon their heads. And then they began to speak in other tongues. Now let me address the speaking in tongues here just very, very briefly. This giving of the speaking of tongues was not a language that could not be understood. It was a language that could be understood clearly by the diverse nations that were present in Jerusalem. and then also to go out into other lands, to go out to the farthest parts of the world, they had to be able to speak the language that would be understood. In some religious circles, we make this giving of tongues, this the second anointing of the Holy Spirit, and actually a furthering of salvation. That is not what happened here. That is not what happened here. It is simply the empowering of the Holy Spirit that they go out, being commissioned by God Himself, to go out and then be able to speak and carry on conversations with those that they would be ministering to. And so here the Holy Spirit comes. And then we read on through the book of Acts how this Holy Spirit moving out and the disciples moving out into the different territories and people coming to Jesus Christ by the thousands and by the thousands to such a point that the disciples needed help. We read over in chapter 6, you don't have to go there, but we read over in chapter 6 where the disciples began to appoint deacons. They appointed deacons and called them and authorized them to support them in the ministry, because the disciples could not do it alone any longer. The disciples laid hands on these new deacons. A word to the deacons. If any elders give you grief, just tell them that the deacons were established before the elders. But here the disciples laid hands on the deacons, empowering them, giving them the authority that the disciples had gotten from Jesus Christ Himself. This is where we get the idea, the practice of laying on of hands. Back in December when we brought the deacons and the elders here and brought them to the boards, the elders came and laid hands upon them. That is conferring that power. Just as Jesus Christ gave it to the disciples, here the disciples are giving it to the deacons, and then the deacons and disciples would go out and plant other churches, and when they would establish the elders and the session and the diaconate, they would again lay hands upon them, conferring that power of the Holy Spirit to them. That's why we do it today. And that chain has not been broken all down through history of the laying on of hands by the apostles and the deacons. In just a few moments, we will commission the Belize mission team. And when we commission that Belize mission team, we are doing the same thing that the disciples are doing here with these deacons. Sending them out into the countryside, sending them out to be witnesses to what we read over in Luke chapter 24. And Jesus said, all that the Old Testament taught, teach it. And you've seen my crucifixion and resurrection, teach that. And you are the witnesses. So when we go to Belize, when the teens went to Chesapeake, we commissioned them, giving them power and authority that was given to us by those who laid hands on us. And as I've said, that chain has not been broken all through history. And so now, the church is beginning to expand. And where is it expanding? Go back to verse 8 of chapter 1 of Acts. We are to be witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all of Judea, and in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And so we are. We, the church, we are charged to go. We have a mission to go. Jesus Christ said in the Great Commission, go therefore and make disciples. That is a continuous journey. As you are walking along the way, as you are moving about in ministry, make disciples, meaning teach. And what do we teach? Just what Jesus Christ gave the disciples in Luke chapter 24. We are to go to Judea, Samaria, and to all the ends of the earth. And so what does that mean for us today? Our philosophy of missions here at New Sterling is born out of these passages that I've just given you. Our philosophy of missions has three areas of emphasis: locally, nationally, and internationally. I hope you can see where we got that emphasis. It's right here in this passage. We are to go out into our communities here. We are to go out into our region and our state. We are to go out into the entire nation. And then we are finally to go to the ends of the earth in international missions. And we here at New Sterling are doing just that. We work locally here, supporting several agencies in our community. Several of you volunteer at different agencies here in our community. yesterday. The folks involved in the 30-hour famine went to Iredell Christian Ministries, working and supporting their work there. They also did work here locally in our community, here just down the road, doing some things for folks here. Also, let me say this about our youth. I'm very excited that our youth are very interested in missions. They went to Chesapeake this last summer, and they want to go every year, and we want them to go every year. There are some hurdles to get over to make it happen, but I'm excited that we are raising up missionaries here, locally, nationally, internationally, potentially. There's discussions going on right now. All plans have not been finalized to have what we're calling an at-home mission trip this summer. You'll hear more about that as that rolls out, I hope. Also here at New Sterling, we have been working nationally. Just name the places: Troutford, Virginia, Harlan, Kentucky, Chesapeake, Biloxi, Mississippi. We've done that kind of work through Samaritan's Purse and through our own working. And then we also work internationally as the team is headed back to Belize. And then, not to leave out at all, Hannah and Justin, as they continue to prep for the mission field, that work is ongoing. So just briefly here, we are to be a missions-oriented church. The church is to be on mission all the time. And the mission field begins right outside that door. And we will do our work locally, we will do our work nationally, and we will do our work internationally. And as we go and do that work, what is the message? What is the message that we are to give? Jesus Christ said, "It is written that Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sin should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." So when we go to Belize, what will be our message? The love and care of Jesus Christ and the witnessing of the forgiveness of sins. When the youth go back to another outing, wherever we find that place, what's going to be their message? This is going to be their message. Hannah and Justin, wherever they find themselves in the foreign mission field, what's going to be their message? This message right here is what we deliver. And I am thankful that God has called us at New Sterling to be a missions-oriented church. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for this call to go to the mission field. And just like the disciples, I pray that wherever we would lay our hand, that we would wait on the movement of the Holy Spirit, and that you, O Holy Spirit, would come and lead us and guide us, and that we would go on your mission, not in our own wisdom, not in our own thinking, but to follow and be obedient to that which you have given us. I thank you, Father, for that call. I thank you, Father, that we are, as I've said, a missions-oriented church. In Jesus' holy name I pray, amen and amen.